Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy, a careers consultant here in DCU Career Service. So as part of our spotlight on our virtual recruitment fair this year, I am joined today by Square, two representatives from Square. So the first person is Kristen Ryan, who is a recruiter on the customer success team. And we also have Alan Kenny, who is an engineering manager with Square. So, listen, you're both very welcome. Square have a number of things that they want to talk to us today about, but we're going to start off with Kristen. And maybe, Kristen, can you tell us a little bit more about Square, what it does, and why we should know a bit more about Square?
Yeah, sure. So, Square, we sell an ecosystem of products to help businesses exist and to succeed efficiently in business. So we essentially sell a range of hardware and software tools, anything from card readers, point of sale systems, kitchen ordering display systems, through to online ordering, invoicing, team management, e-gifting, and more. So there's quite a lot of tools that we help businesses with.
So how long is it in existence, and you know, what has been its development and its growth direction?
Yeah, sure. So the company set up in 2009 by Jack Dorsey, who is the co-founder of Twitter as well. So it's been in operation since then in the States, but we've also grown into Canada, Australia, Japan, the UK and Ireland. So we've had products on the ground in the UK for 4 years now. Dublin is actually our European headquarters, and we launched our product in Ireland just May of this year. And by the time this podcast launches and airs, we will have launched into France as well.
Fantastic. So can you tell me a little bit about more the, you know, Square's, like, this is a European headquarters. So what does that mean then, that, you know, is all of your operations working out of Dublin?
So yeah, essentially Square Ireland, our office is in Dublin. Obviously during COVID, everybody was working remotely. But there will be continued flexibility, even after COVID, for people to work remotely within the Republic of Ireland. All operations for Europe really, it will be coming out of Ireland.
Brilliant. I might just bring yourself in, Alan, just to talk about the technical graduate roles that will be typical for Square. So thinking about the capabilities, the skills and the talents that you're looking for from a technical point of view. So maybe explain kind of the typical grad role, or who you'd like to see on your teams.
Sure. I suppose from a straight technical perspective, typically we end up looking for people with Java experience. We are expanding to also look for people with Ruby experience, Golang experience, but fundamentally Java will be the number one language of choice. Having said that, when it comes to the people that we actually look for, it's not all about the language that you may have done through college. It really is about your capabilities as a problem solver and how you might think through an issue and come up with a solution. How you might create algorithms and design, stuff like that. So for graduates, it can be very easy to become very, very focused on a technical framework or a language, but I would definitely advise them to maybe take that step back and think about, really, I'm creating solutions and how do I actually go about that as a process?
Okay, fantastic. So when you're thinking about the typical final year or postgrad in this area, you mentioned obviously Java is your, you know, is one of maybe the preferred one, but obviously you're going to be building out in different directions. Can you tell me a little bit more about the day-to-day life, about working on a, as you're quite rightly said, a kind of a your solutions-based approach? And what does that look like on a day-to-day basis as being working as part of a team?
I think on a day-to-day basis, the easiest way to describe it for people in a technical space is probably, well, we're an agile, you know, development company. So that means we break our work down into sprints. We do sprint planning where we come up with what we're going to do. On a day-to-day basis, then the engineers would be involved in kind of working out various user stories as part of that, doing some implementation, testing what they've done, and putting it into production. We don't have separate QA teams. We don't have separate deployment teams. The engineer is kind of responsible for the life cycle of the work that they produce. So there's a great degree of kind of ownership and responsibility on the work. And this means, and this is true for a graduate as well as for a senior engineer, we're very much in favor of kind of regardless of your level, giving people the opportunity to explore and propose ideas and really be involved as part of the team. And it's not a case of you're senior to me, so therefore, I look up or I defer to you. It's more a case of how can we all work together to come up with a solution. So you often end up with kind of brainstorming sessions and working with other engineers to kind of come up with solutions to problems. So it's very collaborative as well. And it's, you know, really agile is definitely the kind of key way of describing it. It's all about being ready to adapt and change to requirements as we need.
Brilliant. On the technical side of things as well, Alan, you mentioned things like, you know, that some of the important soft skills around collaborative and being working on a team. If you're thinking about the graduate, you know, our DCU graduates are fortunate enough that they would often have opportunity to, you know, do an intra placement as part of their degree. Obviously, the last 18 months have been a little bit problematic for some, but in the round, graduates would have got a lot of opportunity to, you know, get some decent work experience. Can you think about, say, the soft skills and maybe talk about, you know, how might students demonstrate that at an interview with yourselves?
Yeah, soft skills are extremely important. And I think in a lot of engineering courses, they tend to be underrepresented. So I do think it's good to shed some focus on this as part of this kind of conversation. Really, when you go into industry and when you're working, especially in an agile environment, you're going to be doing stand-up conversations on a daily basis. You're going to have to talk about your work and you're going to have to be confident about it. But the advice I always give to new recruits, both interns and graduates, is you've done the work. You don't have anything to be afraid about. This is a safe environment. So, you should feel free to speak up. You know, no one's going to come at you. There's also usually demonstrations. So at the end of a sprint cycle, you have a demonstration, maybe the work that you've been working on. Sometimes you do it with pairs of people, whoever, if they've been working together. So being able to communicate both verbally is very important, but also in written communication is very important because you're going to have to share ideas about design documents and things like that. And as we've seen in COVID, where we've had to adapt to this kind of not being in an office environment, that also brings up challenges to how you collaborate and how you use these soft skills. It might mean that you're dealing with people in different time zones or that are geographically separated from where you are, and you have to consider that in your communication. So do I have to use asynchronous messages and then, you know, meet up with people later, whereas before I would have just met them in an office? So there's a lot to consider, and I think a good communication course is a very valuable asset to have as part of a degree.
And just when we mentioned we had a chat before we came on air, and the applications hasn't opened up yet for these graduate roles. It'll be later in semester one and, you know, rolling out all the, you know, through into semester two. But typically in how you have made or have gone through a selection process in Square, you know, for people who were in their early career coming out of college, you know, with maybe this is their first professional role as a graduate. What is the interview and selection process? Is there a whiteboard interview or, you know, case study type interview? Can you maybe bring us through some of the processes that you do to evaluate candidates in Square?
For the technical ones, firstly, I would say if you're applying, you should because you're going to be a graduate, you're not going to have a lot of experience, and we're not going to expect a lot of experience. So I would recommend potentially putting a well-thought-out cover letter as part of your application process, because it will help distinguish you from another candidate. It tells me as a hiring manager, oh, this person has actually looked into the job and considered what it is we're looking for and why they would be a fit for that on a potentially, you know, just a general basis rather than that they have Java and that's what we're looking for. But when we actually get to the interviewing process, something that we do in Square that perhaps is a little different than other places is we tend to do a paired programming exercise as part of the early screening process. And that basically means that we would take the graduate and we would actually pair them with an engineer from Square and have the two of them work together to solve a technical problem. Not a Square-specific problem, just a generic kind of software engineering problem, and just see how they work with other people, how they take feedback, and how they actually then can use that to develop a solution in real time. Because it gives us a good idea of what a person would be like to work with on a day-to-day basis.
Fantastic. And do you find that because it's a paired one rather than maybe in front of an open panel and things like that, that it just kind of tends, people can kind of maybe get into the zone and just focus on the problem that's in hand, and they probably, you know, do they settle down quite quickly to it?
It varies. Some people adapt to it quite quickly, as you say, and I think it becomes natural to them because they're used to, you know, just sitting down and working through a coding problem. Other people actually find it quite challenging because they're not used to the collaborative nature of the work. And that really throws them off because they see software engineering almost as a solo discipline. And that's probably something they should be looking at this point, if they're in their final year or wherever it might be, that when you go into industry, it's not going to be a solo exercise. It's going to be you working with other people.
Brilliant. Okay. I might just bring yourself in, Kristen, because one of the things, the interesting things about Square at the moment, that you're not only maybe expanding your technical base here in Ireland, but you're also expanding your business development side. So can you tell me a little bit more about the type of graduate that you're seeking for your customer success team?
Yeah, so I recruit across the business side in general. So that spans marketing, product marketing, customer success, risk, sales, account management, and more. But I suppose the graduate roles that we recruit for are really across the customer success and sales teams. So they're quite separate teams. Sales, as you know, is kind of general entry-level positions in sales, sales development reps being the predominant title. Customer success is the team that really they resolve issues with customers. So they work in a customer support capacity, but with a very strategic focus as well, because they would be noticing, you know, what trends are coming through from customers. Is there an issue? And escalating issues to sales and product marketing teams. And our customer success team is quite important to the business because, like I said, it's where most entry-level roles are. But because the training is quite good and everybody in that team needs to know the product very well, that is basically a pool of internal people that move on to different roles within the business. So internal progression is a huge focus within Square. And when positions come up, we generally have a really good look internally first. So that is why we will continually be recruiting for the customer success team. And now that we are in Europe, we will continually be recruiting people with bilingual skills. So like I mentioned previously, we're launching into France. So obviously French and English bilingual skills are required across all teams I just mentioned not so long ago. But this team, it will always be a team where we will be recruiting entry-level people in tranches, perhaps 4 to 5 tranches a year. So at the end of semester one, we will be recruiting again, and then probably for another 2 new hire dates during semester 2 and during the summer and through to autumn of next year as well.
And can you tell me a little bit about, say, you know, the language skills that you're looking, and I suppose the level of those language skills. So if we have our students and their first language, their native language is English, and they may be studying, say, French or German or Japanese, you know, what would be the level you'd be looking for?
So from the international rating point of view, it's really a C2. Mm-hmm. We do need fluency in both languages. So as you know, English is our language of business communication in Dublin. And so anybody who is from another European country or another country that has these languages, they would absolutely need to be fluent in English, and vice versa. Anybody who has taken up a second European language and is studying that in university, they do need to be at a fluent level or certainly C2 capacity. And the reason for that is, speaking with customers every day in their native language, you know, if they're calling with a problem, we do need fluency to really understand them. And from, you know, the Square employee's point of view and customer success, you know, we want somebody to have a really nice interaction with customers and do that through really good communications. So it does need to be fluency across all languages.
And when we talk about, say, for candidates that maybe would have that level of fluency in another European language, it often requires quite a serious amount of dedication to that language. So with regard to, say, skills in business or development and things like that, will there be kind of robust training there? Because, you know, it's very hard for anyone maybe to be working and, you know, to have the development at a college level in a number of disciplines when, you know, that language skill dominates the agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, really what we would be looking for is, you know, and I know that in DCU there's quite, like you mentioned, there's a good emphasis on intra-placements. And so, you know, with the language courses, anybody who has spent a year abroad studying or working, or spent some summers abroad working, where they've immersed themselves into a different language and culture, that all stands for a lot. Then the other skills, really, I mean, as we are entry-level roles, you know, we're not expecting people to have much experience at all. But, you know, what I would say, hints and tips about CV preparation is that, you know, read the job spec through a number of times, you know what, understand what we're looking for. So, for example, customer success, that's a very customer-centric position. And that can manifest in lots of ways. That can manifest through waitressing or working on the shop floor or being a caregiver in a nursing home, you know, really understanding somebody's problem and providing a solution to it. So it's really more about how the candidate or the student communicates this during interview stage, and that they know what role they're going for and they can bring whatever experience they have to that. And communicate that really well.
Brilliant. And for, again, we've said earlier that the application actually hasn't opened up. It'll be later in semester one. And as you quite rightly said, that you're going to be doing a number of rolling campaigns during 2022. But bringing somebody through the typical Square process, you know, you said it's going to be a CV. And what was the next stage of the process in general? Now, I realise maybe for specific campaigns or specific roles, you might have, a couple of different steps. But just in the round, what is your approach to selection?
Yeah, sure. So I suppose I'll take it in two different ways, because with the language positions, it is a little bit different. So, mm-hmm. For example, with the bilingual roles, we do, for the customer success entry level roles, we do after CV selection, we do ask candidates to do a short writing task, which is, you know, basically answering three questions, two in English and one in their second European language. And that's really checking for written communication skills and proficiency. That's not something that should take very long at all. The second stage, once they pass that, then they go through what we call a virtual panel interview, whereby they meet about they meet about four different stakeholders, and it's a competency-based interview whereby, you know, they're asked different competencies relevant to that role. So it could be, tell me a time when you have to deal with a difficult customer. How did you get around that? Explain how you work collaboratively, things like that. And that's really just, again, you know, letting them meet the team so that they're aware of who they'd be working with and giving them opportunity to ask lots of different team members questions that they might have. And then one of those people would be speaking the relevant language and would be checking for fluency in that respect. But so for entry-level roles, generally, it's one written task or else speaking with a hiring manager, and then this virtual competency interview, and that's it.
Brilliant. And at the moment, all of these processes are remaining virtual.
Exactly.
No, yes. That's fine. It's just, it's nice to have a bit of clarity, and it's, in fairness, I think a lot of organisations, certainly for the time being, and maybe continuing on with using most of, if not all, on the virtual side of things. I just might bring yourself back in, Alan, there as well. And I just want to think about, in fairness, you did explain some of the soft skills that are very, very necessary for the role. But maybe can you tell us a little bit about the culture of the organisation from your own perspective?
Sure. Well, from a culture perspective, I would say that Square is all about sharing. It's really a place where our mission at the statement is very much about enabling sellers. And that kind of permeates down throughout the culture of the business. And we're all about enabling employees as well to be the best that they can be. And by that, like, we invest quite a bit into kind of like training and learning programs. So in the case of graduates, you know, there's a lot of resource material for them to kind of get up to scale on new technologies and improve themselves. And it just in general, you know, it is all about trying to be a good, friendly place, you know, to work and to create kind of a culture, I suppose, where people are willing to kind of put themselves out there and really maybe try to do things that they might not have felt empowered to do elsewhere. And that includes graduates. You know, we want graduates that are willing to kind of put their hand up and say, you know, I have an idea, why don't we do this? And not feel that, well, I don't have any experience, so why would people listen to me?
So, you know, don't be afraid of the idea generation, that there is other people that may have the skills and capabilities to row in with you and say, I'll work on that with you. You know, that's something we should at least dig in on.
Yeah, even if you don't, even if you don't have the skills to maybe deliver it because you haven't 5 years of Java development experience in the real world, that doesn't matter. There's someone in the company who does have that experience. But the idea is super important. So we do kind of whiteboarding and all this type of stuff, you know, where it's all about, let's come up with ideas. We do hack weeks to try and develop these ideas and prototype bubbles. And then if we think that they're good and we want to roll with them, yeah, let's find the resources we need in terms of people skills or in terms of training courses, whatever it might be, to help people, you know, bring them to life.
Now, I'm probably putting you on the spot with this one, Alan, and apologies if I am, but it's just something that struck me in what you've been saying there. Would you, do you have a kind of a formal buddy or mentoring scheme within your work, or is it just that, you know, it would be done informally within the teams? Or
It's both. We do tend to have, for new recruits, a formal buddy system where when people join, they're usually paired up with someone else that's been in the company for a while to just help them learn the ropes and get familiar with what's going on. But beyond that, we also do encourage a more informal kind of collaboration within each team. So it really is all about, you know, just because you might be finished your formal, you know, paired up component, we still want you to keep sharing amongst your team and even with other teams within the organization. If you've got experience in, like, say, for example, We've a lot of new kind of development work that's in Go, Lang, and not everyone in the company has that experience. So So anyone who has experience is encouraged to kind of share it with others that might be on a new team that's starting to go down that path.
That's interesting because, you know, it can be that during the college years, people, you know, maybe experimenting with these new types of languages, maybe more than people who are, you know, so busy in the workplace, you know, concentrating on the Java, that maybe some of the new graduates may be able to shine a little bit there in that space.
Absolutely. And that's the kind of why Square is particularly keen to always keep new blood almost coming in terms of graduates. From the technical side, it kind of gives you a different perspective. When you're working on a day-to-day basis trying to get product delivered, it can be very easy to become focused on just what you're doing and how you need to get it done. Whereas people coming through college, they're often have a greater opportunity to repeat the refresh their technical skills at a rate that's simply not possible when you're in the industry for 10 years. So, you know, they bring this new kind of dynamic energy into a team, and it's great. They can learn from the people with experience, but they also can then bring that kind of different energy to the team as well.
Now, Alan, we're being constantly being told, and we're constantly talking about it in DCU about, you know, this fourth industrial revolution that we're at the, you know, some will argue deep in it. More of us say we're only at the early stage of it. Obviously, the IT world, you know, has definitely changed a huge amount. You know, like, you know, at one stage, you know, it was very much an engineer who converted into working on the IT. Now we have software engineers. Where do you see the future going with your profession? Because it's quite an expanding role. We've got machine learning, we've got automation, we've got, you know, we've kind of got solutions to problems that we never knew we had a problem with, you know. So what do you think the next, it's kind of hard to put, you know, a 20-year vision on these things anymore, but what do you see the kind of, what's the horizon looking like from your perspective?
From a technical evolution, it's very, very difficult to say, because obviously if you were to go back 10 or 20 years ago, even the concept of having like Zoom calls and everyone would be working remotely and that just being a norm would kind of seem kind of crazy, especially when you were in the kind of pre-broadband days. And now here we are today and it's kind of, oh yeah, that's fine. We just do that and get on with it. Mm-hmm. I would say that fundamentally, you know, being a software engineer hasn't shifted really since the beginning of kind of modern kind of software engineering. It's still all about being a problem solver. Okay. The languages that you use to solve it, like Java and so on, they're the tools that you use to get your problem, you know, done. But you're still, at the end of the day, just trying to solve a problem. And it's, and in Square's case, the problem is, how do we make things better for our sellers to do business? And we keep asking ourselves that every day. What are the pain points they have and how can I help them? And that requires people who are going to look to innovate and do new things. The technology is exciting because it enables us to kind of fulfill this need, but the technology is kind of only one piece of the puzzle.
Perfect. So what I'm hearing from you, and it's very, very interesting because, you know, I'm sure anyone might be thinking, God, you know, if I go into this end of the business here now, things are changing so rapidly, you know, I'm just going to get, I'm going to get outdated very, very quickly. But what you're actually saying is the core part of the job is being a problem solver. And that's the stability. That's the bedrock. That's the foundation. Whichever languages you're using, that's just another day's work. That's just the meat and potatoes. Keep yourself updated. Keep curious. Go in with a good, stable language or languages in the beginning and just keep working your way through it. See what drives your curiosity and I suppose keep updated. So it's very interesting that you spoke about the training and development side, because that is critical, because, you know, the expertise, the raw talent is there, and it's just really working on crafting and, I suppose, developing that mastery in your work then.
Yeah, definitely. Training is super important, and whether you're in college or you've been in, you know, the industry for a few years, it really is something that you need to kind of constantly keep focusing on. And it's very challenging. And that's the fact that Square has several kind of programs to help people upskill, like things like when we went to do new solutions in Golang. Well, let's put on a Golang mini university course in Square, and we'll teach people how to start to do this new language. Because we knew that fundamentally, and this is definitely for software engineers, whether it's Java, C#, C++, most of the languages share the same fundamentals in things like Boolean algebra. They have nuances and differences, but we can teach those so long as you understand the core principles that underpin them all. And if you have strong, functional and OO programming, you can basically learn any of the new, the variants of that as time goes on, so long as you're kind of willing to commission, put in the training and continue to upskill yourself.
Brilliant. Listen, thanks for that. We've got great insights about, getting why anyone might consider Square, good bit about the IT side, but also the business development side, and particularly the customer success team. Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ron.